perfect. Okay, so we're in Parakov, Pasuk Lamed Aleph over here. We said quite a bit about Yehoshaphat over here, and Yehoshaphat regarding his tefillah and what he ended up doing to after when he fought the war against Ammon and Moab and everything like that. He completely destroys them without lifting a finger, so to speak. So here it says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayimloch Yehoshaphat al Yehuda ben Shloshim v'chamesh shana b'molcho. Yehoshaphat reigned over Yehuda. He was 35 years old when he became king. So he says, v'esem v'chamesh shana malach Yerushalayim. He was king for 25 years in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo, the name of his mother, Azuva bas Shulchi, was Azuva, the son of daughter of Shulchi over here. Vayel b'derech aviv asa v'lo samni men alasos yashav b'nei Hashem. He followed the ways of his father Asa. He didn't turn away from that path that he was taught. He always did what was right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's an amazing thing to say about anybody. But Yehoshaphat was a good king. Achabamos Losaru. The big issue that he had is that he never got rid of the Bamos. And we said before, maybe the reason why he didn't get rid of the Bamos is because he felt that people needed an individualistic way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bamos were an easy way of doing so. It wasn't easy to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Shoals were not created yet. And they needed their own way, so maybe he allowed them to continue using Bamos. But unfortunately, that caused people to do Avodah Zarah in the future. The people were not dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Divrei Yehoshaphat Rishonim. The rest of the words of Yehoshaphat, the first and the last. Hinam Ksuvim B'Divrei Yehu Ben Hanani. It's all written in the words of Yehu Ben Hanani, Asher Ho'alah, I'll say it from Malki Yisrael, which was, I guess, added on to the Sefer of Malchus Yisrael. Unfortunately, we do not have any of this, right? This is yet another one of those books that did not happen over here. He connected with Ahaziah, the king of Israel. He was the son of Ahav, who were Shia La'asos. He was a pretty evil guy, and he did some evil things. He got with him in order to bring ships, in order to travel down to Tarshish, which was the area of gold. Most likely, that's an area of Africa down south. They made the ships together by Etzion Gever. There's no way, right, that Ahaziah could have done this on his own. Ahaziah lived in the northern kingdom of Israel. Yehoshaphat was the one who lived down south. In order to go to Etzion Gever, which is all the way down, right by the area of what we now know as a lot, in order to get there, they had to use Yehuda's land. So that's why they got together and they were able to do it, because he was friends with those people out there. Yisnabe, it says, Vayisnabe Eliezer ben Dodavahu, Mimareisha al Yehoshaphat Lemor. Eliezer ben Dodavahu, he said, he was from Mareisha, he said about Yehoshaphat, because you have allied yourself together with Ahaziah, Kadosh Baruch Hu has destroyed everything you have done, right? Taken down everything you've done for yourself. By Yeshavru Anios, and all of the boats are going to be destroyed below Atzur Lechaz al Tarshish. They will no longer go to Tarshish. That's exactly what happened, right? The ships, unfortunately, never went to Tarshish. Yehoshaphat lost out on everything. If he would have done it on his own, he would have been extremely wealthy. But because he got together with Ahaziah, right, therefore nothing went well with him. And again, he saw the idea that getting together with the Malchi Yisrael was not a good idea for any of the people around here. Avramor and Perik Chaf Aleph over here. Vayishkav Yehoshaphat im Avosav. Yehoshaphat died with his father, Vayikavar im Avosav. He was buried with them. Be'ir David in the city of David, Vayimloch Yoram ben Otachtov. His son Yehoram, he ended up becoming king instead of him. Below Achim Bnei Yehoshaphat, he had brothers, other sons of Yehoshaphat, Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariahu, Azariahu, Michael, Shvatiahu, lots of kids. Kol Eila Bnei Yehoshaphat, Melech Yisrael, they were all the kings, sons of Yehoshaphat. Yitan Limaviyam, Matanos, Rabos, he gave them a lot of gifts, Lekasav, Lozov, Lemigdanos, silver, gold, and normally Migdanos is known as fruits, but clearly that's not what it means over here. It means something luxurious, something really, really nice. Im Ari Mitzuros B'Yehuda, along with the fortified cities in Yehuda, Vesam Amlacha Nasal Yehoram Kiyo Bechor. And it said he gave the Mamlacha to Yehoram because he was the Bechor. So seemingly Yehoshaphat understood that in order to stop any type of, usurpingness, I guess, of the kingdom itself and allowing his sons to each one go off in their own path and maybe split up the kingdom, he said, okay, I'm going to put you in charge, he told his son Yehoram, and everybody else, you'll have your own city-state. You'll be like the governor of that state. But the guy in charge is going to be Yehoram. He's the one living in Yerushalayim. He's going to be the official guy in charge. But each one of you will have a place for yourself. And it was very smart. It seems that Yehoram took over the kingdom in his father's lifetime so that Yehoshaphat could see him in his kingship. And everybody fulfilled, they did exactly what their father wanted to do and everything like that. So it was really, really nice. He ended up taking him as that. Now, all of these kids are related to Ahav because Yehoshaphat either married Ahav's sister or Ahav's daughter or he married off his son Yehoram to Ahav Zar. Somehow these guys are all related to Ahav. That's going to come into play soon, where all these people are part of Ahav. So when Ahav is destroyed, along with all of his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons, some people thought that even this, even the people in Malchus Beis David should be killed as well. Yehu is going to try to take them down. Let's see what happens. It says, Vayakum Yehoram al Mamlechus Aviv. Yehoram became king. Vayishchazek, Yishchazak, and he became very strong. Vayarog is kolachov bechore v'gam isar Yisrael. In the end, he killed all of his brothers by the sword, as well as many officers, right, of Yisrael itself. Ben Shloshim Shtam Shani Yehoram Ben Malchol, he was 32 years old and became king with Shmona Shani Malach Yerushalayim, and he was king for 8 years. And that's it in Yerushalayim itself. Because he was related to Ahav, Vayelech Baderech Malchol Yisrael, he went in the ways of the kings of Israel, Kasher also Beis Ahav, like Beis Ahav, the Kibas Ahav Haisolo Isha, because the daughter of Ahav was his as a wife. Vayasa Rabbe Ene Hashem, he did absolutely evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there is a machlokas over here. Were his brothers unworthy of being in the kingdom? And they were killed not only because he was evil, Yehoram, but because the brothers were also evil, and it was like a double evil that went together? Or was it that Yehoram was just an absolute evil person? His brothers were tzaddikim, and he took it out on them. We're not sure exactly what happened when it came down over here, but Mitsudo said that he was worried about what was going to be, that when they would ascend to power in their cities, eventually they would get together and try to kill him, so he took care of them first and destroyed all of them when it comes down to it. So it is really interesting how he ended up putting it into play. But we're not talking about a little kid over here. He was 32 years old. Clearly he was thinking for himself. This is just a horrible move on his part that led to consequences, terrible, terrible consequences for all of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, it says, V'olav Hashem l'hashos beis David. Hashem did not want to destroy the house of David HaMelech. Clearly, they deserve to be destroyed. But Hashem did not want to destroy it. L'man ha-bris hashem cross later because of the bris he made with David. Kasher omar l'seis lo nir l'ban of kol yamin. Right, because he wanted to give him some type of a dominion that would go to him and his children for all the days of their lives. So therefore, that's what needed to happen. It's like, yes, they should have been destroyed, but it wasn't going to happen. Hashem was not going to do it. B'yamav pasha Edom. So in those days, in the days of Yehoram, Edom decided to rebel. Mitachas Yad Yehuda, from the yoke of Yehuda. V'yamlichu alei ha-melech, and they put upon themselves a king. Edom had not had a king in years. Since Malchi Yisrael ended up coming up, once David HaMelech became king, that was the last time that Edom had a king, and they were subjugated to the people of Israel, and that Bnei Yehuda were always in charge. At this time, when they saw a weakness of Yehoram, of what he was able to do and what he had done over here, this decline led to the rise of Edom. And slowly but surely, they started coming out, having kings, and worked their way through. But that's what happened over here. They started to have a king right at that time. Yehoram came with his officers and all the chariots. He got up in the night. And he destroyed the Edomim who were coming against him, as well as all of their officers, right, of their chariots, etc. He decided to take them all down as well. Everybody was going to go down. Edom had rebelled at that time, and it lasted up until this very day. It kept going all the way up until here. Oz Tifsha Livna Bezi. Not only that, but Livna himself, that city itself, rebelled against all the people that were there. Mitach Zer from underneath their hand. Ki Ozav Hashem Elokei Avosa. Because Yehoram had rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was sort of a Mida Kineg Mida. He did something horrible, therefore they did something horrible. Vagam Hu Asa Bamos Bahar Yehuda. He also made more Bamos in the mountains of Yehuda. His father left the Bamos that individuals had. He made his own Bamos and the mountains of Yehuda by Yezen as Yoshve Yerushalayim. He caused others in Yerushalayim to go astray. He was like, what's the problem with this? This is what we should be doing. You want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly? We'll go to the base of Mikdash during the Shlosh Regalim. And during the other days, we'll go up on top of the mountains. We'll serve the mountains and the stars and everything like that. And we'll show how even they have connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, there was nothing more wrong than that. He had done horrible, horrible things, right, together with Bnei Yisrael. Vayadach as Yehuda, and he became a Madiach to Yehuda. We all know something called an Ir Hanidachas, a city that is led astray. He led all of Israel astray. That's how bad he was. He led all of Yehuda, all of the people around them, all of them went astray because of this. Now, right now we're on Pasuk Yud Beis. Eliyahu Anavi was not part of Malchus Yehuda. They had no Shaykhus. He had no Shaykhus Malchus Yehuda. He stayed with Malchus Yisrael. He was among all of them. He really had nothing to do with Malchus Yehuda. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Eliyahu HaNavi, I want you to send a letter to Yehoram. For the first and last time, Eliyahu HaNavi got involved in the dealings of Malchus Yehuda. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to tell him that you're going to be punished severely from what had happened over here. Now, some say this is after Eliyahu HaNavi already went up in a fiery chariot to the heavens. He's already gone. So he's not even here anymore. So what does that mean? He sent a letter. It seems like a physical letter that was brought down over here. How in the world could he do that if he's already gone? So the answer is that it's a possibility, right, that Eliyahu HaNavi's body remained here. His soul went back up to Shemayim. At any given moment, the neshama could enter back into Eliyahu HaNavi's body and he's able to walk around on earth itself. The way that it's understood from Baba Basra, Kufchav Aleph on the Beis, is that Eliyahu HaNavi never died. The Radak seems to take that a little bit further and says, his neshama left, his body's here, whenever Eliyahu HaNavi needs to come back, and remember, we see it all the time in the times of the Gemara, Eliyahu HaNavi is all over the place, he comes back to his body, the neshama enters back into the body, and he walks around just like everybody around us. In fact, it leads to a major shaila. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks this in Kovitz Shirim, he asks, is Eliyahu HaNavi's wife able to marry somebody else? Is she considered an aguna? Right? Because her husband died, and we know he died. But technically he didn't, because he can come back at any time. He disappeared, right? But at any point he could come back. What ends up happening over here?
If someone dies and they bring him back with a defibrillator.
Okay, yeah.
But he technically was dead. Or the Torah defines dead as brain dead.
Yeah, we have to define what exactly dead is. But let's say that he was fully dead and he had Tchias HaMesim. Because I'll talk about that. Reb Zera had Tchias HaMesim. Rabba shechted Reb Zera in the Purim story, right? By the Purim Suda. Reb Zera was brought back to life according to the Gemara. So what's the status of a person like Reb Zera? What happens to him when such a thing happens like that? Well, that's a good question. It is really a good question, what happens over here. The Radak also says something interesting. He says, it's possible that this only, he dictated a letter and he ended up bringing it there. He ended up bringing it there to end up telling him what was going to be. And he dictated the message of what it was going to be to a Navi. So a Navi told it over to Klal Yisrael.
When are you going to be free? Soon or no?
10:30, I think, is when I finish.
Okay, fine. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, Blina, I'll try calling. But that's that. But he came and he delivered the message over to one of the Nevi'im so that that Navi can give it over to Yehoram. So Eliyahu HaNavi came through Shemayim to be able to go through. Why Eliyahu HaNavi? Why was Eliyahu HaNavi chosen? Eliyahu HaNavi was the chief adversary to Ahav. Ahav and everything he stood for, Eliyahu stood for the exact opposite thing. And because of that, Eliyahu HaNavi appeared because what Yehoram was doing was following in the ways of Ahav. So Eliyahu HaNavi specifically, who was Yehoram's grandfather, Ahav, Yehoram's grandfather's chief adversary, came to Yehoram and said, you want to be like your grandfather? You want to be killed like your grandfather was? Stop what you're doing right now and go the other way, because otherwise it's going to be absolutely horrible for you. That's the exact reason why he was involved. He was uniquely appropriate for this type of message because he was the one who knew what was going to happen to Ahav if he did it improperly. So let's look at what happens. A letter came from Eliyahu HaNavi. You know what would be even cooler, by the way, which it doesn't say over here, but it would be awesome? If Eliyahu HaNavi dictated a letter before he died and said, deliver this to Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, when it's necessary. Wouldn't that be awesome? It could be that that's what happened also. It just, nobody says that, but that would be awesome. He got a letter from Eliyahu HaNavi Lamar. Kol Mar Hashem Elokei David Avicha, the God of David, your father. Tachas Asher Lachta B'darchi Yehoshaphat Avicha, because you didn't go in the ways of Yehoshaphat, your father, B'darchi Asa Melech Yehuda, in the ways of Asa, the king of Yehuda, Yehoshaphat's father. In other words, your grandfather Asa. You're going in the ways of the Melech Yisrael. You're causing them to go astray. The way that Ahav did, and you killed your brothers. You killed all of your brothers. Hashem is going to make a huge plague among your people. Vanecha is your sons, and all of your wives, and your property will be affected as well. Now, time out for a second. The property? How is a plague going to affect property? So some say that refers to animals, that the animals will all die. That's very rare, because a disease that affects human beings normally does not affect animals, right? Mad cow disease, for example, or that chicken thing, the chicken flu. normally does not affect human beings. Strains might be able to come out, but normally there's no effect. Here, it happened to everything. What were you going to say?
If you get sick, you can't work. If you can't work, you don't have money.
So automatically, your rechush. It just seems over here that the plague will happen to your rechush. Not that you'll go down because of the plague, but it'll happen to the rechush itself, which is weird. But he tells him the following. He said, "Vato bechaloyim rabim b'machalei me'echa ad yetsim me'echa min acholi yamim al yamim." Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to have crazy sicknesses, a sickness of your innards. It's going to be inside your body until your innards pop out from your body, literally. They're going to come out from your body for many, many years. I don't know exactly what kind of a disease this is. I have no clue. But an intestinal disease that led to an ugly death, maybe it meant somehow that when he went to the bathroom, the intestines came out with the bathroom. That somehow it was so bad that he literally destroyed himself completely. We have absolutely no idea. Maybe there was just a filth that was inside there, and it's like that. I don't know. And possibly this also could be media connected media, and it makes sense, right? He hid his Avodah Zarah and his disgustingness, so Kadosh Baruch Hu shows his disgustingness to all the other people. That makes sense over here.
Like
okay.
Eo.
Very similar to Eo. Yeah, to this disease that ravaged Eo's body.
And
right, and everything went down because of it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought up the spirits of the Plishtim and the Arabs that were right by the Ethiopians. And what happened? They went against Yehuda. They captured it. They took all of the wealth that was found in the house of the king, as well as his sons and his wives. He did not have any of his sons left, except for Yoachaz, the youngest of his sons. After that, he had a horrible, horrible intestinal disease. Le'en marpe, nothing could heal him. As years went on, it was toward the end of 2 years. Yatsu me'avim cholyo. His sickness caused his intestines to leave his body. By Yomas Betachaluim Raim, he died with horrible, horrible pain. Below Asulo Amos Srevakasrevsavosov, nobody did the pyres like they did for his fathers and anything like that. There was no temporary relief, and it got worse and worse and worse. And they didn't even want to burn his body because they were afraid that even the smell of his body was toxic. Aside from that, they knew him to be a horrible, horrible king. They would not allow him to be honored at all. Nothing good happened to him. That's how horrible Yehoram was. You know what's even crazier? That Yehoram didn't do tshuva. After getting that letter from Eliyahu HaNavi and seeing everything that happened to him, he still didn't do tshuva. What kind of a fool doesn't realize what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing to him and doesn't do tshuva after all that? But Nunu, Ben Shloshim Mishnayim Hayu V'malchu, he's 32 years old, he became King Shmona Shanim Malach. Yerushalayim, he was 8 years, King Yerushalayim Be'elef Elohemda. He went without any peace, without any money at the end of his life. They buried him in Ir David, the Lobikivus of Malachim. They would not bury him in the kever of the Malachim. They didn't give him any honor whatsoever. Yehoram, unfortunately, was an extremely evil king. They took Ahaziah, his youngest son, because he was the only one around at the time. Everybody else had been captured by the Ethiopians and by the Plishim, probably dead by now. Right? But they took his youngest son. He called Rishonim Harag HaGedud, because everybody else was killed by the troops, Hababa Arvim Lamachaneh, when the Arabs came into the camp itself. Vayimlach Ahaziyahu ben Yehoram el Yehuda, he ended up becoming king. Ahaziyahu ended up becoming the king itself. Now, there's a lot of issues, right, regarding Ahaziyahu. Here's the first issue. In Malachim Beis, it says that Ahaziah became king in the 12th year of Yehoram, son of Ahav, right? In Yehoram, son of Ahav. While later on in Perek Tes, it says he became king in the 11th year, right? So that's that. Number two, it says over here that Ahaziyahu was 42 years old. We're about to read it. He was 42 years old when he became king. But Yehoram, Ahaziah's father, was 40 years old when he died. That doesn't make any sense. Again, didn't we just say he was 32 when he became king? He was king for 8 years over Yerushalayim. That means he's 40. How in the world did he have a son that was 42 years old? Ahaziah was 42 when he became king? That doesn't make any sense. His son was 2 years older than him? How in the world does that make sense? There's something totally off about that, yeah?
He just wasn't a king until he became 42?
But seemingly he became king up until who is king in between Yehoram and Ahazio? There's something there. Yeah, don't worry. I got one. Don't worry. Right? Yeah, this is not like, oh my gosh, and we're like, forget it, guys. Judaism is done, right? That now we're done with everything. In Malachim, it actually says that Ahazio was 22 when he became king. Not 42. 22 when he became king. So here's what happened over here. Chazal tells us like this. Ahazio, Yehoram got this intestinal disease during the last year of his life. Only the people of Yerushalayim were aware of the disease. Nobody else. They had Ahazio become king when he was ill 1 year beforehand. 1 year beforehand, or you know, a year and a half beforehand. Only the other people found out about this once Yehoram died. So when it says 11th and 12th year, it's off by a year. It's because there were two different things going on, two different times that all this was happening. 42 was not Yehoram's, was not Ahazio's age. When it says he was 42 years old when he became king, that was the length of time since Asa married Yehoshaphat to the daughter of Omri, Ahav's sister. Once he got involved with Ahav's family, at that moment, that's when the destruction for everything was going to happen. It's been 42 years since the marriage that caused the downfall of Malchus Beis David, that caused Yehoram to be that way. That's what it means by the 42, but not that he was literally 42 years old. To be honest with you, I have no idea how else you can learn this in pshat. I mean, if you don't use this drush, I have no clue. Again, we just said how old his father was. It's 32, 8 years king in Yerushalayim. And we're saying, Ben Arbaim Ushtaim Shana Ahazio Ben Malchus, he was 42 years old when he became king. There's no other way to learn it. It's 42 years since the downfall of this entire kingdom. That's the only way that I can understand it. Look at what it says, Shana Ahaz Malchus Yerushalayim, he was ruler for 1 year in Yerushalayim, and that's that. Shemimo, his mom's name, Asalyo Basamri, was Asalyo, the daughter of Omri. That Asalia was in Ahav's family as well. That was his mother's name. Gamhu, he went in the ways of Beis Ahav, Ki'imo Haisa Yoatz Dolar Shia, because his mom was his chief advisor, and she advised him to do only evil. He did evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki'Beis Ahav, just like the house of Ahav, Ki'hema Hayolo Yoatzim, because they were his advisors, Achrei Mosav Yudlamash Kislai, after his father died, right, going toward his destruction. Gamba Tzatzim Halach, he went in their Eitzav, Yelach as Yehoram ben Ahav, Melech Yisrael Lemochama, and he went with Yehoram the son of Ahav, king of Israel, to war. Al Chazel Melech Aram, An Chazel, the king of Aram, Baramot Gilad, in the area called Ramot Gilad, Vayaku Aram Mis Yoram. And at that point, the Arameans, the people that were living there, they destroyed Yoram. They completely destroyed Yoram. This is Yoram, the son of Ahav. So the king of Israel is knocked down. Vayashav Li Srafi Bi Israel. So Yoram went back to heal himself in the area called Yisrael. From all the wounds that he had gotten when he had fought against Chazal, the king of Aram. And I know this is confusing, but Azariah, son of Yehoram, king of Yehuda, went to visit Yehoram, son of Ahav, in Israel because he was very sick and he was dying. That's how bad it was. He was visiting him. So Azariah was fizzing. Azaria, by the way, is Ahazio. It's the same name. Now, if you wonder, why is he one time called Ahazio and the other time he's called Azaria? Why is he called that? He was helped by God to even live past that 1 year. Shouldn't have lived anywhere near this past year because of how evil he was. But he went to go visit him. He's like, oh, I'll visit the sick. Biker Cholim, thank you. That was a hard one, right? I'll be Mavaker Cholim and I'll visit my cousin, right? Because they were related. They're all from the house of Ahav. I'll go visit my cousin. He's sick. I'll take care of him. Me'elohim ha'isa tibusas Ahazio. This is all from God to destroy Ahazio, Levol Yoram, and that's why he came to Yoram. When he came, he went out with Yoram toward Yehu, son of Nimshi. Yehu was anointed by God to destroy the entire house of Ahav. Yehu had a mission given to him by a Navi that he has to destroy every remnant of the house of Ahav. And he did so. He kills Yehoram over here, even though Yehoram was dying anyway. He kills every remaining member of Ahav's family. And not only that, he killed every member of Malchus Beis Yehuda that he could find as well. And he sees Ahazio, Azariah. He sees this guy, Ahazio and Azariah, and he says, You're part of Beis Achav. Your mom is from Achav's family. I have a command to kill everybody. Vayiki shofet Yehu in Beis Achav, when Yehu was in charge of destroying the house of Achav, Vayimsa sar Yehuda b'nei Achei Achazio, and he saw all these people over here, these people, the sons of Achazio, Mishorsim L'Achazio, by our game. And he killed all of them. Every single person that was there, he destroyed absolutely all of them. It says, Vayivakesh Achazio, he searched for Achazio, Vayakudu, and he captured him. When Mishabeb Shomon, he was hiding near the Shomon, Vayivu El Yehu, they brought him over to Yehu, Vayimisu, and he killed him, Vayibaru, and he buried him, Ki Amru Ben Yoshafatu, they said he's the son of Yoshafat, Asher Dorash Hashem B'chol Levavo, who searched for God with all his heart, Vayin L'Achazio, Latzor Koach L'Mamlacha. And there was no one in Azariah's house who was ready to reign after he was done. After that it all happened, there's absolutely nothing that you're going to do over here that they were going to be able to do. Now, it is weird. Did they bury him or not? In Malachim, it says they carried him on a chariot to Yerushalayim. They buried him in Ir David. But over here it seems that they buried him right there in the Shomron. Where was Achazio / Azariah buried itself? It seems that they were going to bury him right there. And Yehu, in the last second, gave permission for them to take his body over to Yerushalayim. And the only reason why is because he was the son of Yehoshaphat, the great king of Yehuda. The grandson. Of Yehoshaphat, the great king of Yehuda. He had tremendous respect for Yehoshaphat, and therefore Yehu allowed for the corpse to be taken back respectfully. But that's it. He had to be killed because he's from Achav, and he does like Achav, but nonetheless, that's what's going to happen over here. Some say that they exhumed him from the fields. Yehu did bury him, but Achazyahu's subjects came and grabbed him, took his body, and brought him to Yerushalayim and buried him in Ir David. That's what they have to do over here. Now, it seems something happened over here. We don't know exactly what, but it says no one was able to become king. So what happened? Asalya, the mother of Achaziah, you know, Azariah, got really, really upset. She saw her son had died, and she couldn't understand why.
Why is she still alive anyways? She should have been killed with the rest of them.
That's a really good call, but she was hiding in Yerushalayim. Yehu did not have the army or the muster to get into Yerushalayim, so he couldn't get to where Asaliah was. So although she should have been killed, she didn't go with to go visit in Yisrael, and because of that she wasn't around, she wasn't anywhere near there, therefore she was able to survive. Asalya got very, very upset. Now, one could say, listen, one thing led to the next. She saw her son die. She saw her husband die. She saw all these evil things happening. And she said, you know what? There is no God. God clearly is not with us anymore. And Asalya went in the other direction. She said, you know what? I don't want anybody else being coming king. I don't want anyone else to die on me. I'm going to become the queen. And for the first time in Klal Yisrael, we have a queen that becomes the queen of all of Klal Yisrael, not even from David Melech's house. Asalya was from Achav, not even from David Melech. She's not a daughter of anyone that could end up becoming. Asalya is an evil person.
And we're not,
but she became queen.
And
yeah.
We're not counting Shofeta.
I'm not counting, yeah, because although Devorah HaNeviah obviously is out there, she was not officially a queen. Not officially. This is the first queen, and she's not even from Malchus Beis David. So I don't like this. In the back of the green Tanakh over here, if you look at the back, you can see they have like a whole thing that goes through the kings over here. So you can see right over there, you have by Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, Achaziah ben Yehoram, he ruled for 1 year, and then Asalya, mother of Achaziah. Asalya is not the daughter of anybody else. She is not a person to be reckoned with over here. She is just a person from Achav itself. Asalya me Achaziah, the mother of Achaziah, Ra'asa ki mispinah. She saw her son had died. Batakam. She got up. Batidaber. As kol zera mamulcha leves Yehuda. What does she do? Look at the word. Batidaber. Normally, what would that be? Right? She spoke to them. Right? She spoke to all the children of the kingdom leves Yehuda. Chazal tell us, batidaber means she plagued them. She killed out. How does it translate?
Exterminated
them. The word batidaber does not normally mean that, but over here it means she made a dever. She destroyed all of them and took care of every single one of the children of the Melucha Beis Yehuda. She killed out everyone. There was no one left in David HaMelech's line. No one left. Batikach Yehoshavas Bas HaMelech Es Yoash. Yehoshavas, the king's daughter. King's daughter. This is, in other words, Achaziah's daughter. She took Yoash ben Achaziah. Yoash was the son of Achaziah. Batignovo Somitoch ben HaMelech. She stole him from all the other princes that were there, Hamu Muslim, that were being killed. She took him, as well as his nursemaid, into her bedchamber and hid them completely. She hid them, Yehoshavas Basamelach Yehoram, right? Ishes Yoyada Kohen, the wife of Yoyada Kohen. It's pretty cool, by the way. Yehoram might have been a really, really evil person, but he had a daughter that married the Kohen Gadol, and this Kohen Gadol, Yoyada Kohen, was a tzaddik gomer, an absolute tzaddik gomer. Some say that he lived 120 years. Yehoyada. She was Achaziah's sister. She hid him from Asalya, right? And he did not kill him.
So there were two living kids at that time.
It might be that she died. It might be that she was
after
killed.
Yehoshavas
might be killed after that. We don't know, right? After she saved her brother, he was the only one that may have survived. We don't know what Asalya did. It could be that Asalya was a woman's lib person and let all the women live, but did not allow the men to live. It's possible. We don't know what happened to Yehoshavas, but Yehoshavas took her life on the line, saved this one kid, Yoash, and because of that, we have the Davidic line. Without Yoash, it all would have been destroyed. Chazal say one an unbelievable thing over here. They say the following. When Nov Ira Kohanim was being killed, Nov, the city of Kohanim, was being killed by Shaul HaMelech and Doeg HaDomi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David, you caused Nov Ira Kohanim to be killed. You went there, you took stuff from them, you fooled them into thinking that you were working for Shaul, and you caused them to be killed. Because of that, all of your children will be killed. But one person survived Nov Ira Kohanim. One person survived, Achimelech's son, Evyasser. Because that one child survived, Hashem said to David, one of your children will survive. And that child was this kid, Yoash.
Yoash is the second
one. Yeah.
Why is that fair? Hashem says, first of all, it was indirectly.
He didn't do it. Shaul HaMelech did it. Yeah.
So what's actually going on there?
David HaMelech is such a tzaddik that he is to blame when he did something which was questionable. What was the questionable? He did not tell Achimelech, the king, the Kohen Gadol at the time, why he was running away from Shaul. He pretended that he was working for Shaul, and that got Achimelech killed. Had he told him, I'm running away from Shaul, I need help, Achimelech might have still helped him, but that wouldn't have been it would have been on Achimelech's head, not on David's.
But why didn't he lie?
He didn't lie, he just did not say the whole truth, and he did it because he was afraid, he wanted to survive.
Hey,
he was starving, he was worried about dying. What?
That's called fraud. I'm going to jail. That's a clear lie.
If you're trying to save your life from it?
So he was trying to save his life, worried about so yeah.
But on David Melech's level, trusting God a little bit more. Again, if I would do it, it would probably be considered a mitzvah. But David Melech on his level should have asked for a little bit more. Now, I will tell you, I am not positive I fully understand what's happening over here, but the idea behind it, I think, is just this. He should not have allowed it to happen in that way, and since David Melech allowed it to happen, therefore, this is what happened here. Asalya was successful in eliminating every single person except for Yoash. And that's what ended up happening. And she even killed her own children, her own grandchildren. That's how evil Asalya was. She was extremely evil, but all of it happened. Oh, I said the name was, who did I say survived? Evyasser, right? I said Evyasser survived. Yeah, yeah. That's the person who ended up surviving over here. That's what ended up happening when it came down over here.
Why do we even recognize her as a quote-unquote queen over Israel? Nobody,
Well, she was the queen for 7 years. She was the queen. We shouldn't recognize her, but she was.
Not the anointed one.
No, she was not anointed.
She's self-appointed.
She is not part of Malchus Beis David.
Right.
Nonetheless, she was in charge for 7 years. Right? That's what ended up happening.
She's just some crazy person who nobody could stop. We don't have to recognize her as queen.
I don't think you have to. But that's what ended up happening. But we do call... I don't know if we ever call her Malka.
No.
No, I don't think we do. But that's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened over here. It's so funny, right? The one that thwarted Asalya was her own daughter, the wife of the Kohen Gadol. It is really, really, really strange, and that's that. So listen, there is something really interesting that comes out from over here, which explains something. We said the word v'tedaber. She killed them by speaking to them. But the word is weird, right? We said it relates to the word dever, that she plagued them. According to the Radak, the Mefarish, and the Metzudas David, the way she killed them all was by poison. She put poison in all of their drinks, and she plagued them by giving them that poison and gave them a deadly plague. She may have chosen this method and thought it was the best one because it would seem that they all died from a plague. That she didn't do it directly, but every single child of David HaMelech's family had all died through a plague itself. It's possible that nobody could connect it to her, and that's why quite often back in the day, that's what they all did. They all used poison. Because the sword fair, you could always chime, you know, you could figure out who did what and whatever it was. But plague, but these poisons, who knows? Who absolutely would have any idea whatsoever? Maybe that's why she wasn't totally successful. It was a great idea. She was successful in many, many ways, and a lot of people ended up going through. But Yoash was an infant at the time. He was nursing. He had a nursemaid. Therefore, you couldn't give him poison. If you gave him poison, right, then everybody would know something's wrong over here. Something ended up being wrong. The system wouldn't be the same as it was by the older people around. Forcing it down his throat would make sure that everybody knew the plan, so she couldn't do it. So instead, she was going to kill the child, right, in some other way, right? But unfortunately, whatever, regardless, Yoash was the guy who somehow survived because of Yehoshavas, and that's ended up going through. Now, here's a cool thing. Where did they hide him? It says he was hidden, right? He was with them in the Beis HaMikdash. Mischabe Sheishanim, he hid there for 6 years. Vasalya Malach Asal Yehu Ala Oretz. Asalya reigned over the land itself. Where was he hidden? So what we don't realize is that in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and I think actually you have a picture back here, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, yeah, look over here. Where's my pen? If you look right over here, these are all chambers. The Beis HaMikdash was a huge building, 100 amos tall, you know, maybe in the first basement. The second basement was definitely 100 amos, but maybe even 30 amos right over here. There were chambers where you could go inside all around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Bottom floors, second floors, third floors, and there were hidden chambers as well that not even the queen knew about. The only person who knew about them was the Kohen Gadol himself.
What was the point of these chambers?
The chambers were, simply put, for the Kohanim to sleep. For the Kohanim to be when they needed to live there, whatever it was. Each one could have been a room. There were also storage areas. There were also little areas where they could live. You know, they could have their living space for them to be. They all had something. Yoash was hidden in one of those chambers in a back room that no one else knew about him. And no one even knew that this area existed except for the Kohanim Gedolim and the Kohanim. And the Kohanim did not say a blessed word. No one went against their Kohen Gadol. And that obviously started before. That meant that Yehoyada was a special Kohen Gadol who had the trust of every single one of his Kohanim. And that meant that nobody was going to tell on him. And I'm sure Asalya offered thousands upon thousands of gold coins for anybody who would say anything about where the son was. And Kohanim were coming and going. Kohanim were poor people. They didn't own land. They came in back and forth and whatever it was, and none of them told on Yehoyada and his wife. So now, Bashana Shviz in the 7th year Yitzchazik, this is the beginning of Perek Chav Gimel. Bashana Shviz in the 7th year Yitzchazik, Yehoyada strengthened himself. And he took the captains of the hundreds, meaning these were people that were in charge of the other Kohanim. There was Azariah ben Yerocham, Yishmael ben Yochanan, Azariah ben Oved, Maaseihu ben Adoyo, Veselishapha ben Zichri, Imo Bavris. He took them all into a bris with them and said, all right, guys, we got to get together and we're going to have to do this, okay? Right now, the Gemara says that Yehoyada was around 118 years old. He was 130 when he died, according to the Medrash. 130 altogether. He started his life in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Isn't that cool? He was around by Shlomo HaMelech. He saw the beginning of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And he lives all the way up until this time, right? Sees how everything is going over here. It's absolutely amazing what he was able to do. The Yehoyada was there the entire time. He got everyone together. Vayasobu b'Yehuda, and they went all around Yehuda. Vayikbetuotz Levim and Kolar Yehuda. They gathered all the Levim they could find. Every person from Shevet Levi they could trust. Varashia Elvos Yisrael, and the head families of all of Israel. They have all Yerushalayim, they came to Yerushalayim. Vayikros Kol, he had everybody get together and they made a bris. The Beis Olim and the Beis HaMikdashim HaMelech, together with the king Yoash. Vayom Elam, and he said to them, Ben HaMelech Yimloch, the son of the king will be king. The son of our last king, Ahaziah, he will be the new king, Kasher Divar Hashem al Bnei David, like Hashem had spoken about the children of David, right? And he said the following, Zeh Adavar Asher Tasu, here's what you have to do. Hashoshu Mikem Bo Yashav is LaKohanim LaLevim LaShor Yasipim, right? A third of you, of the Kohanim LaLevim, you are going to arrive on Shabbos to be gatekeepers. Remember, when did they switch the Mishmaros? It was on Friday, right before Shabbos, when the people would come in. He chose this day on purpose. And the reason why is because the most Kohanim and Levim would be in the Beis HaMikdash, would be right then. So if they needed guards, that's when they would be there. Hashlish the Beis HaMelech, Hashlish B'Shar Yisod. Another third should be by the palace. Another third should be by the gate of the Yisod. V'cholam B'chatzot Beis Hashem. And all the people should be found by the Beis Hashem. They should all be brought to the courtyard. Every Kohen Levi, go through every area. And tell all the Jews, I want you in the Beis HaMikdash this Friday. Bring everybody in on Friday. Get everyone together. V'al yavo Beis Hashem ki am HaKohanim. No one is coming to the Beis HaMikdash except for the Kohanim and Mashors and Levim and the servants, the Levim. Hema yavo ki kodeshem, and they're holy. Cholam yishmu mishra Hashem. Everybody else has to be careful. Again, remember, you can't be tamei. And a lot of these people, the Israelim, were tamei. I don't know how, you know, Asalya was. V'kipo Levim is a melech saviv. The Levim will surround the king around him. Ish v'kela biyado. Each man with their weapons in their hand. V'abol abayis yumas. Anybody who goes into the Beis HaMikdash or tries to get into the Beis HaMikdash, kill him. V'yuhal samelech bevo b'tzeso. Be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. V'yasol levim v'chol yehuda v'chol asher tziva Yehoyada ha-kohen. They did everything that Yehoyada the kohen told. V'yichu ishas hanasha boi ha-shabbos. He took everybody with him when they came in on Shabbos itself. Im yotze ha-shabbos, together with the people who were leaving that week. The people leaving the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki lo patar Yehoyada ha-kohen is machlekes. Because Yehoyada would not let them leave. He tried to keep everyone around. I want you to think the way B'nai Yisrael were at that time over there. He needed manpower, so everybody's going to be around. But this is something where B'nai Yisrael to wrap their heads around. For the last 7 years, they honestly thought that Dovid HaMelech was decimated, completely wiped out, that no one was left. That's what they honestly thought. They thought that Asalya had gotten rid of everybody. And they grieved. They just lost the Malchus Beis Dovid. The promise was given to Dovid, and they for sure knew that the promise was given to Beis Dovid, well, that they would never die.
Is that necessarily true, though? Because this baby went missing.
I don't know if everybody knew that the baby went missing, and I'm sure Asalya didn't let everybody know about it, right? Asalya for sure let him. Just think, yes, Kohanim knew about this, right? Because they had to get food and drink and whatever it was. They had to do stuff. But apparently, this was there. No one was around. And all of a sudden, you find out, like, the king is alive. The king is right here. They had no idea. It must have felt like to them the Mashiach had just arrived. The Mashiach had just arrived. The anointed one of Yehuda, the anointed one, the child of Dovid HaMelech, came to save us from the evil Asalya, the evil witch of a queen who was in charge of a year. They must have been the happiest in the world. They had no idea that this is going to happen, and they must have been just ecstatic. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. This is absolutely amazing. All right, I don't know. Let's do one last piece and we'll stop with this. Vayitain, in Pasuk Tes, Vayitain Yehoyada HaKohen L'Sarei Melech Tzarchan Nisim Vesamaginos. Yehoyada HaKohen took all of the weapons that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. He took all of the spears, all of the shields. That's a Shalatim HaShalom Melech, and all the shields of David HaMelech. Asher Beis HaLohim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. And obviously, that was the last line of defense, the Beis HaMikdash. They took all this stuff from the armies they had conquered, right? He never wanted to use them from personal profit. Even though many of the treasures were gone already, right, that they had lost all of their treasures, these weapons they were able to keep, and they ended up keeping it over here. It says, Vayamon is kol ha'am v'ish sholcho biyado. He stood all the people, each man with a weapon in their hands, mikesev avayis v'yamonis, from the right flank of the temple, akesev avayis v'smolis, to the left flank of the temple, la'mizbeach v'labayis, right by the mizbeach, as well as the Beis HaMikdash, ala melech saviv, all surrounding the king. The two is ben ha'melech, they brought out the 7 or 8 year old king. He's probably 8 years old at this time. Vayitnu alav is a nazar, and they put the crown on his head, v'sa edus. They gave him a sefer Torah in his arm. So they made him king by him shachu, and they anointed him Yehoyada ubanim Yehoyada and his sons by Yomru, and they said out loud, Yechi HaMelech, may the king live. Normally, you do not anoint the son of a king. You don't have to. Only if there's machlokas. Because Asalya, the queen, was out there, therefore he had to be anointed so that everybody knew he was going to be completely protected. Josephus says over here, right, he says the entire area was surrounded from the left side to the right side with 2 semicircles that no one could get around to make sure that everything was there. They also, the reason why they brought out the crown, is because the crown of David HaMelech only fits the shape of the head of one of his children. Doesn't fit anyone else. If you have a weird shaped head, I do, by the way, I'm just saying, I have a really weird shaped head. So if you have a weird shaped head, you can wear the crown of Melech David. Asalya couldn't wear it, but Yoash, it fit his head. And when they put it on his head and it fit him, they said, that's it, that's the king. This is the king of Klal Yisrael, and they were all happy as soon as it went on top of his head itself. We already talked about the Sefer Torah. There were ornaments, royal robes, and stuff like that. Who knows what else they ended up doing over here, but we'll stop with that, guys.